first of all, a lot of credit to San Diego State. I thought they played a really good game. And, you know, I thought they were very physical. I thought they obviously were able to do some damage to us inside. And then they started getting comfortable from the perimeter. And, you know, unfortunately, it wasn't our night. And we wish we would have played better. Wish we had shot the ball a little bit better. But some of that you have to give credit to them. But there's nothing that can take away what this group has done. And, you know, it's an unbelievable story. And I couldn't be more proud of our team in a time where I'm extremely disappointed that we didn't advance. But it's really hard to not pull the lens back a little bit and still see what this group was able to accomplish. And, you know, for that, I'll be forever grateful.
Row two.
Nick Lawrence, mid-major madness. Jalen, Mike, just like Coach just said, you made the round of 32. Just how rewarding was it to come back, put on that Furman jersey, make the NCAA tournament, win a game, and play on the weekend?
Yeah, I mean, it's something no one can take away from this team, you know. Greatest team in the school's history. No one's won more games than us, and, you know, we enjoyed it. I think that's the best part about it. You know, we enjoyed the good times, we enjoyed the bad times, and we're going to have relationships created and bonds created that, you know, like, it's going to last a lifetime. You know, we put so much pride behind this jersey and with our alumni and with our current students and fan base, and people around the country know who Furman is now if they didn't already. So that's something that we're going to definitely take pride in. And when we really get the process, what all we accomplished, I'm sure we'll feel really proud about what we've done.
To the front.
Scott Kaler, Furman Sports Report. Coach, midway through the first half, it was tied. I think he had 10 rebounds apiece. I mean, like, virtually every stat line was tied. What kind of happened in those last 10 minutes of the first half, specifically? It just seemed like that wave can never be stopped.
Well, you know, I've always thought this is a complimentary game. And we look at it a little bit like there's two different ends. When you study really good teams, they're complete. You know, it's not really an offensive team or a defensive team. Great championship level teams are complete. And the reason they're complete is because the two ends affect one another. We're up 16-12, playing pretty well, and we foul a three-point shooter. And I thought it really affected our energy. And then I thought I wouldn't necessarily say it was panic, but the ball quit moving, and we were over-dribbling. And it was a little bit what they were scheming us to do. And then we had some, not just turnovers, but we also had what we call shot turnovers, which are bad shots that basically are just like a turnover. And I thought they were able to play in transition, and they were able to get the game up and down a little bit instead of having to score in the half court. I thought our half court defense initially was good. And, you know, once they were able to open up the margin, I thought they settled in. They got a little bit comfortable. And we just could not. I mean, our guys kept trying. You know, I'm really proud of how they kept fighting. To see Garrett Heen dive on that loose ball right there with a couple minutes to go, that's the pride of the jersey. And but we just couldn't, we could not catch a rhythm. And you know, the duck ends clearly were bothering us. Obviously, they started making shots. I mean, when they're making shots like that, the biggest difference in their winning and losing, when you look at it analytically, is how well they shoot it from three. And when all of a sudden Trammell is jumping up there and making those tough shots, and all of a sudden Parrish has 14 at halftime, now you compound that with what they're doing in the interior, and then they're limiting your good looks. And it's even sometimes when we did get looks, Scott, they just didn't go in tonight. And you know, but again, you don't want to beat it up too much. I mean, it's been to see them continue to fight and to see them continue to compete. It made me a proud coach.
To the back.
Mark Ziegler, San Diego Union Tribune. For Jalen and Mike, if you could both answer this, what were they doing to you defensively? Because, I mean, you're a team that averages, you know, 82 points a game, and you were late in the shot clock, like almost every possession there late in the last few minutes of the first half.
They did a really good job gapping us. You know, we're a downhill team, and we use drives to create for one another. And so credit to them. You know, we let the ball stick a little bit, but you know, their gaps, their gap presence, and then they pressured us. They crawled up into the ball a lot. You know, obviously them picking us up full court bothered us a little bit. But, you know, they kept us from driving. They kept the ball out the paint, kept a really strong floor, and played really hard.
Yeah, I would say, like Coach said, it was complimentary. We stopped getting stops. And when we're taking the ball off the net every time, you know, it's really hard to have a good flow. We're not getting any transition buckets. They made us work for everything we got. You know, we didn't get any easies tonight. So, you know, that and missing some open threes kind of stuck our rhythm. We kind of got in a rut. But, I mean, credit to them. You know, they're known for their defense. They show why today. They're known for their physicality. They show why today on both ends of the floor. But definitely us not getting stops made it worse. You know, we didn't get out in transition, which is our best layer.
Front.
Matt Rochelle at the Orlando Sentinel. Bob, you talked about in this moment, it's difficult to look at the big picture for all this, but what can you take from this experience in the NCAA tournament, maybe into next year and the teams in the future?
Well, that's what we just talked about in the locker room. I mean, it's now you've tasted it. You know, like we've experienced it. I mean, let's call it what it is. We're not using any excuses whatsoever. San Diego State played great today, but we experienced today Thursday that the program's never seen. You know, we haven't experienced anything like that. You know, and the fashion that it happened, the emotions behind that, everything's new from how we had to handle yesterday. You know, the media sessions were a little bit extended. You know, just we tried our best to normalize things as best we could, but at the same time enjoy it. And but I had no worries with our prep. I thought our team was ready to play. But now that we've been here, like, it's a different taste. And that's what I just told our team. You know, it changes the sight lines a little bit. It changes a little bit what you're aiming for. And, you know, when you deal with success, failure is something that forces you to respond, right? Like what we went through last year, like we knew we were going to respond to that. We worked all offseason with that. Sometimes what success can do is can make you complacent. And I think the challenge going forward for us is to understand, like, this has to make us hungrier. You know, like, this has to push us every day to want to get back here and want to continue to show that we belong in the NCAA tournament. And look, you look at this, I mean, 1/8 of the games were won by mid-majors in the first round, right? Like, mid-majors are showing they belong in this thing. And I don't want to get into an analytical spill of how this thing's, it's harder to get in, right? Because you don't get rewarded for winning and you get just absolutely pummeled for losing. We lost at Western Carolina and fell 20 spots. We won 8 games in a row and we only gained 20 spots. But what the mid-majors are showing right now is we do belong. And I'm hoping that the country can continue to see that. And I know as our program, we're going to walk out chest up, chin up, chest out, and we're gonna look back on this and understand this was an incredible story, not just the weekend, the whole year. And just like last year we counted it all joy, you know what? We're going to count this all joy. And we're all going to find different things that we learned from this. But look, there's nobody walking out of here with their head down. And I could be more proud to be a part of it and to see how much this program's grown and how much the people inside this program have grown.
2 minutes remaining, row two.
Facts and Children's, 105.5 The Roar. Coach Richie, could you talk a little bit about Jalen and Mike and what they mean to this university as a whole as their career comes to a close today? I know you've been with them the entirety of their career and how they kind of cemented themselves as program legends this year.
Well, I mean, he said we only have 10 minutes, and I think we've used about 8. So that's going to be too short of an answer. You know, like, I just love it about what it stands for. I love the fact that they had the conviction to do what they thought was right for themselves individually. But I think that care was due to their teammates and their program and their institution. And I think it was a decision that it wasn't so much the question's always been, why didn't they leave, okay? Well, the better question would be, what did they stay for? And I think as you look inside our program, like, you got to ask yourself that. Okay, like, come to Greenville. Come to Furman University. Okay, come to practice. Come see how our players operate. Come see how close they are, how connected they are. Listen, it's hard to leave because they love, look how they just kept playing. You know, like, they care about one another. And I think that's what the world doesn't quite understand. Like, oh, they were supposed to leave. No, they weren't. You know, they stayed for a reason, and they knew what they were coming back to do. And what I love about the story is everything that they've been rewarded with has been based off of that decision. And they delayed not only gratification, but they had to work through adversity. And, you know, for that, I just think it's an incredible deal. And, you know, it wasn't our night tonight. But again, I think that's why we can walk out of here knowing that the last time we lost, we were in Charleston and we lost to Citadel. And we basically had to win three in a row to win the league in the regular season, and we had to win three in a row to get here. And not only did they win those six games in a row, but then they won a game in the NCAA tournament. And I think for them, it's going to be something that resonates the rest of their life. I think when they go through hard, this will be something that will be ironed in their heart, that now they know, hey, this is what you have to do. Hard is hard, but it's necessary, and it's necessary to produce the growth, and I think that's what they were able to experience.
Final question in the back.
Coach, you just mentioned mid-majors. Just very quickly, this was a mid-major versus mid-major battle, but now San Diego State could be stepping up a huge level to Alabama. Is this a team that could challenge Alabama, or is that just a huge level, a huge jump?
Yeah, you know, I love what Coach Bennett said the other day in his press conference, that great basketball has no level and has no limit. And I'm a big subscriber to that, you know, and I wish the college basketball world would subscribe to that. I don't think San Diego State's a mid-major team. I really don't. I mean, they got high major length and size. They play extremely hard. And when you look at the league, the Missouri Valley, I mean, when you look at the Mountain West and how they schedule, the resources they put in, most of them buy six games. You know, when you look at their model, it really is pretty close to a high major model, that what they're doing TV-wise and things like that. So I don't know anybody in their program. You know, I don't know how they operate, but I'm telling you this, like, they don't look at themselves as a mid-major. And watching them on film, they're very well coached, they're very disciplined, they play extremely hard, they know who they are and they know what they're about. And look, they can advance as far as they want in this thing because of how physical they are, how they defend, and how they rebound.